Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for everything you've given us. And Lord, I pray that this passage of Scripture, you would help us to see some things that we need to see about your character and understand the emotions that are talked about here. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Wednesday nights we've been doing a series on emotions and dealing with emotions, and I've been trying to put that on paper for the prisoners at the jail, at the county jail, with the class that we're doing with Brother Larry, trying to give them some other things to dealing with emotions and everything. And you know, dealing with emotions is very important, because sometimes our emotions get the better of us, and that's what causes us to sin. And we should never be controlled by our emotions. We should be controlled by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the will of God. And so, but when we look at these things, obviously we have these emotions. We were given these emotions. Everybody has these emotions. And whether they're considered good or bad, whatever the case may be, they're God-given. They're natural. They're normal. But what happens is we corrupt those emotions. And sin has corrupted those emotions. All right? For example, when we talked about fear, we talked about the very first thing that happened to Adam after the fall was, when he heard the voice of God, he hid from God. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord doesn't take us away from God, but to God, right? So the fear of the Lord takes us to God. Ungodly fear takes us away from God, wants us to hide from God, wants us to... And man lives in that fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of all these things. And salvation and the fear of the Lord is supposed to bring us to God. So there is a proper fear that we should have. We should have a reverence and an awe. But you know, we talked about these things that we have, these emotions that we use. For example, anger. We used anger. And anger, God, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. God gets angry. And we're told, be angry and sin not. But have you ever thought about some of the other emotions that we deal, like fear? Let me ask you a question. What is God afraid of? What is God afraid of? Is he afraid of the devil? Is he afraid of man? Is he afraid of the angels? What's he afraid of? Huh? He's not afraid of anything. But that's not exactly true. Because fear is a God-given thing. It has a proper use. There is a proper fear. There is a proper fear. Alright, I want you to see that today. Look at what he says. Notice this is God's word. Paul is speaking, but God's speaking through him. He said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I," what? "Fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And then he talks about people preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted. So God
has a fear, but his fear is not for himself. His fear is for the consequences that will come upon us if we walk away from him. God fears for us like a parent would fear for a child's safety. There is a parent. Have you ever been a parent and or in charge of children, and all of a sudden you look up and the child's not there, and there's that jolt of fear saying, wait a minute, where is he? And it puts us to action, doesn't it? Alright? And God has a godly fear for us. There's a godly sense of fear of the consequences. We're not afraid, but we're fearful for the consequences of the child because the child doesn't know what the dangers are. And we do. We understand the dangers. So our fear is not selfish, it's for them. Right? So there's the picture. God has a similar type of fear for us. Why? Because he knows we have an adversary. He knows our frame, that it's but dust. And along with that fear goes a healthy jealousy. God's jealousy, God's a jealous God. He doesn't want us worshiping false gods or other gods or whatever the case may be. Why? Because he's got an ego trip? No, but because doing that harms us. He's jealous over us with a godly jealousy. Paul is reflecting the heart of God when he says he said I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't want you to backslide. I don't want you to suffer the consequences of sin. I don't want anything to get you to a point where it's going to hurt you, harm you, get you out of fellowship with the one true God. And it's right that God should be jealous in that way. We're jealous of our children. Children go and they start hanging around with people that we know are no good. Good parent intervenes. Good parent doesn't want those affections transferred from what's right and good to something that's wrong. Now think about that. We've talked about different types of... And this is a very straightforward, simple thing, and you can ask questions anytime you want. But if you go over in to the book of Galatians, I believe it is, we talk about lust, in other words. Lust being a strong desire. And he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 16 of the book of Galatians, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the Spirit of God in you has a great desire for you to yield to him. That's why he speaks to us. He lusts against the flesh. He wants you not to live to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Not to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the flesh does not like you to walk in the Spirit. That's why we have to crucify the flesh. That's why we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit of God. Because there's a battle going on. Somebody said one time, the missionary told a story about a chief of some tribe in some place that he had won to Christ, and the chief came and he said to him, he has a conflict in him that he's never known before. And he said, what's the conflict? He says, like, two dogs fighting in me, a black dog and a white dog, and one wants to do bad and the other wants to do good. And they asked him the question. He said, well, which one's winning? He said, whichever one I feed.
There's some wisdom in that.
Once again, we talked to the people in the jail. We talked about Bible study and prayer. Those are spiritual pursuits. When done in faith, they are spiritual pursuits. And it is a spiritual activity. And that is what is supposed to make the difference in our life. We're supposed to pray and in the Spirit. We're supposed to study the Word of God in the Spirit. Today, like the Apostle John, we're supposed to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. And in other words, our heart came with the attitude of heart, I want to hear what God has to say to me today. Lord, speak to me, please. That's the way it should be. But the flesh has the flesh, we talk about the lust of the flesh because they're so prominent in our life, but the Spirit itself lusteth against the flesh. In other words, it has a desire, the Spirit of God, God Almighty, has a strong desire for us, of what He wants for us. And that's perfectly proper. Like any good parent, He wants the absolute best for His children. Like any good creator, He wants the absolute best for the world. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? God's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. We see the desire of God. We see Jesus at the Lord's Supper, and He said, with desire have I desired to eat this supper, this meal with you. We see that desire. We see that the godly fear, even in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you go over to the book of Hebrews, and you look at chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 2, He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says this. Maybe it's not Hebrews chapter 2, maybe it's Hebrews chapter 5. Let me see. I'll find out what I'm looking for. Let's see. I'm going to find it in a minute. I'm trying to remember what I was trying to look at. I may be looking in the wrong place, but let's see. I thought it was Hebrews chapter 2, but I may be. Not what I'm looking for. Let's see. Okay, Hebrews. I'll find it in a second. Give me just a minute and I will find the passage I'm looking for. Yep, chapter 5. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 5. And He said, who in the days of His flesh, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death and was heard, in that he feared. Alright? In other words, he feared God. So he wasn't going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't going against God. He was praying to fulfill the will of God. He was praying to get there. But we see that. But he had strong crying and tears. What was he doing? He was praying. And he had a great desire to complete the work. He prayed that God the Father would save him from death because that night he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And he was in agony as it were. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood. He was in an agony and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible tells us that an angel appeared strengthening him. Now that's an amazing thing that happened there. Many people look at that the wrong way. They look at it as if somehow Jesus was trying to get away from Calvary's cross. No, He was trying to get to Calvary's cross. Amen. He had human weakness just like we do. He thirsted. He hungered.
He was in every way a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he had great desire. There was a desire to fulfill the purpose for which he came. And so we see that. We see that same desire in the Spirit of God. That desire, and that desire is against the flesh and against sin, against the carnal. So when we use that word lust, speaking of a strong desire, most times we use it illegitimately, but in its most straightforward form, in its most basic form, it's just talking about a very strong and deep desire. Something that wants to take hold. And so there it is. We have desires. And so we ought to desire things that are good. We ought to have a zeal, a great desire, a strong lust, if you will, to accomplish the will of God. We ought to have a godly type of fear toward God and for others. Afraid of the consequences that are going to befall others if they don't get saved. There's a proper understanding of that. A godly jealousy, wanting people to being jealous against that which would destroy people, and desiring for those people, and desiring them to be reconciled with God. That's what God has. So you understand all of that thing when you look at these emotions, that even the ones that we most consider being negative, all right, they have a positive connotation to them. And so many times God tells us, and the Lord Jesus tells us, fear not. Right? Don't be afraid. And the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. The spirit of fear that he's talking about is the ungodly type of fear. The selfish fear. The fear of man. The fear of death. The fear of the judgment of Almighty God, in the sense that we don't want to have anything to do with God. A right Christian, even if they have sin in their life, when they realize they have sin, what do? They immediately go and confess it and want to draw nigh to God and get right with God. And if your sin and your reaction to your sin is to try to ignore God, go away from God, walk away, that's the wrong type of fear. That's the same fear Adam had. That's the fear of the that's from the flesh, not the spirit. So is this making sense to you when we look at these emotions? When we talk about emotions and how they are. And obviously the way to get over these emotions is, first of all, yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And we have to believe God. That's what we have to do. So many times these emotions come because we don't believe God. Eve was beguiled. Why did Satan beguile her? Because he wanted her not to believe God. Right? Thou shalt not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Your eyes are going to be open. God's holding out on you. You can't trust him. He doesn't have your best at heart. But when we talk about what God fears and what God's jealous, it's evident in God's jealousy, it is quite evident he does have our best at heart. So a lot of times when we look at these emotions, we say, well, God doesn't have that emotion. Well, yeah, he does. It's just not the way we're accustomed to looking at it. There's a proper use for all emotions, for anger, for fear, for jealousy and envy. Think about that. Remember Joshua? When people were there and the people started, Moses had come down and people started prophesying in the camp, and Joshua came down. I mean, Joshua said, "My Lord forbid them." He said at that time, would to God. He said, envious thou for my sake? Joshua's envious, like, well, that, you know, nobody like Moses. Can't have everybody going out speaking the word of God. He said, envious thou for my sake? Would to God that all his people were prophets. That God would put his spirit on all of them. I'm kind of paraphrasing there, but go back and read there. Joshua's envy was wrong. He envied for Moses' sake. If you're going to be jealous about something, get jealous about something that's good. Most of the time our jealousy is because we don't have it. Our envy is because we don't have it. Right? We're not jealous for somebody else. There's a right and a wrong way. So we can go through all of the different motions and we can talk about them and we can find a right way to see those emotions and see, and we had examples in the scripture of what constitutes the right use of those emotions. Some of it we know, some of it we may just have to learn. So I just wanted to bring that out to you today because I've been kind of studying that and want to go through it, and sometimes it gets kind of hard to see until you read it in black and white. Think about it. Meditate on it. So I hope that's a help to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll take a break for the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for the Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, help us to see these emotions that we have. Lord, so easy for them to be corrupted and be selfish and be self-centered. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to deal with those things and learn to use these emotions properly that they might motivate us in the right direction and draw us nearer to you and not farther away, as they so often do. Lord, help us to yield ourselves, including our emotions and our affections and all those things, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit of God. Help us to that end, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.